First You Think is a not-for-profit ministry of the First Unitarian Church of Des Moines. Support us at ucdsm.org today.
There's a saying passed down from early American Universalists that the last sinner will be dragged kicking and cursing into heaven. The welcoming gospel of the Universalist Church stood in stark contrast to the wrathful God of the 18th century Puritans and to the stuffy theology of the New England Unitarians. They preached a God of a greater love that could embrace all of humanity. There's a commonality between this view of heaven and a strictly atheistic one. If you believe that salvation is universal, there isn't any reason to spend your life worrying about it. If heaven does not exist, then it also is not really your problem. In both cases, we are left with this one life. And what should we do in this wild and precious world we get to visit but once? In an essay on poetry and prayer, Mary Carr describes how she began attending church because her son wanted to go and see if God was there. 2 years ago, I started looking for a church for a similar reason. I had quit drinking about 6 months prior and was coming out of the haze of early sobriety. I was looking for a connection to something greater than myself. I thought perhaps God was the answer. I didn't know exactly where to find God, but I had an idea of where to start looking. So I started Googling for gay-friendly churches in Des Moines. I met and visited with some lovely and progressive Christians, and I could feel some kind of a spiritual resonance there. It was a new and exciting feeling for me. However, after a few visits, I realized this was a book club with only one book to read. There was only one story of meaning that they would be telling, and I wanted more. I remember hearing about First Unitarian when I was a child. My parents had attended from time to time and spoke highly of this congregation. I remember hearing about the multicultural haven of diverse thought and excellent potluck food. I remember my dad would describe the governing theology as, "I'm okay, you're okay, God's okay, or not." And so I came to find God, or not. What I found in Unitarian Universalism was a language for and a method of engaging with spirituality, which has helped me understand my own faith. I found a rich tradition of ministers, theologians, and lay people working to bring greater justice and religious liberty into the world. A faith which reinvents itself time and time again in accordance with new ideas and new values. A church which seeks to build a beloved community of people who want to improve this world that we're born into. What I'd like to talk about today are the values of our liberal religious heritage and what we can learn from them. Our spiritual ancestors had a bold vision, which rejected the traditional teachings on sin and damnation, which had governed Christianity for centuries. They insisted that God is bigger than our human prejudices and errors. I see these same values emerging in our church and our movement today. I see them in the proposed changes to Article 2 of the UUA bylaws, where they say we must replace systems of power and oppression with ever-widening circles of solidarity and mutual respect. It follows another traditional universalist precept, no souls overboard. When we follow this universalist impulse, we endeavor to bring justice to an unjust world. We try to envision a society which recognizes the dignity and value of every human person. We strive to build the kingdom of God. Because I am the kind of studious Poindexter which this movement attracts, I began studying the history of our religion. I find a great deal of inspiration in the Universalist branch of our family tree. It is a uniquely American faith and was uniquely responsive to the time in which it grew up. By embracing the redemptive story of Christ without reservation or condition, they were able to grow beyond the anxiety of sin and salvation. They were able instead to wonder how to live in this beautiful and broken world. When I speak about the kingdom of God, I am speaking to something that is deeply within this world rather than beyond it. Theism is not necessary to my position, so you may discard that if you prefer. And should you object to the kingdom language, you could instead refer to the commonwealth of God, which is a charming turn of phrase from Universalist theologian Forrest Church. When I refer to the kingdom of God, I am thinking about a process rather than a concrete destination. The process of widening the circle of solidarity to its maximal diameter and making good on our commitments to justice. I can't define what this world will look like. From my position here and now, this future seems impossibly far away. From the Christian perspective, Matthew Fox describes bringing the kingdom of God as a concrete effort to make right, to make just, to mend creation when it becomes broken by injustice and human violence. Our responsibility, he says, is a cosmic one. We are a part of the universe. Now, in a future sermon, I'll be detailing my theory that all progressive religious traditions eventually end up inventing Unitarian Universalism. What I take today from Fox and others is that the role of God in all of this is to call us to something greater than we can envision. The promise of a world that is barely conceivable to us now. When I was deepest in my addiction, the idea of living without alcohol was unimaginable. I was certain that was the only way that I would be able to live and survive in this world. I am blessed to be standing here today, living a life with more love and more joy than I could have ever dreamed of. Whether you call this God, hope, the spirit of love, or just dumb luck, this is the project we are involved in. We are trying to make an impossible world. And I have come to believe that sometimes, if you are very lucky, those impossible things can happen. Unfortunately, this does not mean they will happen without difficulty. I find it useful to think of ourselves as the midwives to the process of birthing this new world. Even as we strive to bring it into being, we may not live to see its full flourishing. In all likelihood, we get the birthing process itself. We get the world covered in blood and shrieking. We get disheveled skin and wet hair. It's a difficult and frightening and inspiring process. I think about the lines from Julie Hansen. The mother gives no thought to a life prior to that one. She cares to be held in its eyes. This perspective is constructive for understanding what is important in our work and the challenges we will face. In our time, we will see the contractions and the birthing pains of ending historical injustices. Sometimes it may look like a violent reaction to the erosion of white supremacy or a transphobic reaction to changing ideas about gender in society. Sometimes it will require of us a personal reckoning beyond what we find comfortable. It may require a change in ourselves beyond what we think is possible. You can choose your preferred parable to understand this here. Planting a mustard seed, shopping for pearls. There's a ground-up camel passing through the eye of a needle situation I read about. The kingdom of God is not one which fits comfortably into our rational minds. It requires a cosmic perspective and a dynamic one. The new Article 2 language regarding transformation says, openness to change is fundamental to our Unitarian and Universalist heritages, never complete and never perfect. I fear sometimes that our congregations may become so concerned with getting things right at home that we miss this broader vision. Although we have, by and large, abandoned the theological concern for salvation, we may find ourselves bound up in this inward focus. We may find ourselves staring long into our own navels, hoping that the time will eventually be right for something more to happen. We may neglect to connect our inner practice to that greater vision of the world. We risk mistaking our covenantal relationship for a conventual one, shut off from the world. The earth, as Fox says, can no longer tolerate the sin of introspective religion. Put another way, I don't think this is a religion you can practice only within the walls of a church building. I believe in the power of this community and this tradition to change the world. I see it in the work we do and in the mission we serve. I find it in the hands and hearts of all who gather here in hope. My faith calls me to believe that we can bring an impossible world into being. Whether you believe that is through the power of God or the power of community, this faith transcends the current order of things. It is greater than that's how it's been and that's how it always will be. This faith, in all its crying and screaming and struggling to be born, is the kingdom of God. Universalism has always been about more than just an afterlife. Over time, it itself came to outgrow the Christianity which it was born out of. We see this in the Universalist symbol with the offset cross and how we today regard it in our own sources of wisdom. The Universalist minister, Dr. Tracy Pullman, gave a sermon in 1946 saying, "Here, then, is a suggested pattern of the new religion. It is greater than Christianity because it is an evolutionary religion, because it is universal rather than partial, because it is one with the spirit of science and is primarily interested in bringing out that which is godlike in man." When I think about what is godlike in humans, I think of love. I think of interdependence, equity, transformation, pluralism, generosity, and justice. This is a church and a movement which embraces those values. It's a place that I could come to understand myself in relation to God and to the spirit of life. That spirit brought me to a place I never thought possible in my life. And I believe it can do the same for this world we share. Thank you.